What's wrong, love?
What's wrong? You are gonna help me. You are gonna beat heads and fix my life. But you're completely lame. Tonight sucks. And look at me. Look at stupid Buffy. Too dumb for college and freak Buffy. Too strong for construction work. And my job at the magic shop. I was bored to tears even before the hour that wouldn't end. And the only person that I can even stand to be around is a neutered vampire who cheats at kitten poker.
Oh, you saw the cheating, did you?
Well, so, I think you're drunk.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 6, Episode 5, titled Life Serial, directed by Nick Mark, written by David Fury and Jane. Oh boy. Espenson. Yeah. Original air date October 23rd, 2001, to an audience of 5.68 million people. And before we get into the episode, everybody, we've got a couple of
shout outs from Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe with the shout outs in the morning.
We're in the Sloppy Joe era, everybody.
Yeah, we are. People, before we get into the shout outs, you may have noticed that Joe saw the name Jane Espenson and freaked out like he'd never pronounced it before, ever. And we're six seasons into the show. And it's just a little Discord pronunciation that just got into his mind. And I'm surprised he even let it sink in. I would have just pronounced
it however on it.
Got the yips hard. And just if you're a listener, you're like, what is going on? What did Jane do to him? Why is Joe freaking out?
Jane broke my brain.
Yeah. It's
Broke my brain, Espenson.
It's Espenson. And sometimes you go Espenson.
Espenson.
And I think it's fine. Either way you do it.
It's whatever.
You say Starbuck, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we're having a good time here, everybody.
Don't get the yips, Joe. Just
But here we go. We got some shout outs. Sloppy Joe shout outs. We've got Mossy. Thank you so much for your 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We've got the Gen X Professor, Gen X Prof. This is awesome because they are a professor of pop culture studies and they gave us a 5-star rating and review. Really dig it. Thank you so much. We're academics, Vance.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever need a guest for your lectures or your classes, you know, we'll come in for a fee.
We're available
for stipend for tenure.
And we've got one more shout out from down under. We've got a special good eye shout out for Platinum 19. Thank you for your 5-star rating and review. Really appreciate that. I like that people enjoy our podcast because we don't go into excessive social commentary.
Even though last episode, I think we stopped multiple times for commentary.
Yeah.
But not excessive. But not excessive.
Not excessive.
Yeah.
We just talked about cereal for forever. Yeah,
we did.
So if you want to get your very own shout out, 5-star Apple Podcast rating and review, 5-star Spotify rating, send it to us somehow at Boys Watching Buffy on Instagram, boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. You can send it to my DMs at Joe Welke. That was the old school way. So yeah, that's how you get a shout out, or if you get something from our wish list, which we have linked in the show notes. Join our Discord. You won't get a shout out about that, but just join it. That's a general, just join it. We've got a lot of good times going on there. That'd be way too many shout outs if I shouted out everybody on Discord. But
if you're in Discord, try to get Joe to get the yips again. or get me to get the yips.
Just make me question my whole reality, much like Dawn. I think that's about it. We got our join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies. The movie this month, since it's spooky season, is I Know What You Did Last Summer. Had a good time with that one. Don't know when it'll be out, but it'll be out soon, in October, for sure.
It'll either be out this Thursday or next Thursday.
There you go.
But, you know, join the Patreon so you can get it. Yeah.
And then there's also Joe's Fashion Report /Corner, a video series where I break down the fashion of each episode and having a good time with that. So the last episode ended with Buffy being like, oh, I have to go to I have to go meet Angel. And Giles is like, oh, you're going to go fucking meet him in the middle, or you're going to go all the way to Los Angeles? And Buffy's like, no, we're going to meet him in the middle. And then so me and Vance were like, ooh, what's this going to be about? Oh, is Angel going to be heavily involved in this episode? You'll have to go to our patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy to find out. Because we don't get any answers about the Angel thing in this episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But maybe we get some in Angel.
Maybe.
You'll have to sign up and find out. But as with each episode this season so far, I'm about to get freaking launch into my monster era. We got a peachy keen this time around. Ultra peachy keen. It's a good one. It's a good one. But Vance, do you have any announcements at the top before we get into the episode?
No, I do not. I am drinking some green tea. And that is it.
Out of the Buffy mug.
It's not. It doesn't have the same thing when we're talking about what we're drinking during the podcast when it's not similar or something.
It was specific era.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Ultra peachy keen monster. Zero sugar. Gotta watch my figure. Anyway, this episode, Life Cereal. I don't even think we even gave any predictions because we were just like, I don't know.
We ended up giving some predictions. Mine was that it would be a very meta episode. It's not really. I also predicted that Anya and Xander would reveal that they were getting married. Did not happen. And I'm not going to predict it at the end of this episode. And then it should happen next episode.
Yeah, there was a while where like you were one episode ahead on your predictions.
Yeah. And you predicted that they would play the game of life in real life or something like that.
Oh,
like
yeah, just, because like Anya was loving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Which I actually thought about more throughout the week, and I was like, that actually is a pretty good prediction for them to play it. The game is cursed. They go into it, and it's like this fake Stepford Wives type lifestyle.
And he gets all pissed and tries to trade her children for money.
And it could have been all based around the whole Anya and Xander admitting that they're getting married and that kind of thing. That would have been a good episode idea. I could picture it, you know?
Yeah, but instead we get this, which I enjoyed. I thought this was a very fun episode.
Instead we get this, which I enjoyed.
Didn't want to make it seem like I didn't like the episode, but...
This is
a fun one.
I feel like we got the high schoolers back, so it feels a little season one-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little light, a little silly, a little pop, just like nerds talking about stuff, kind of, you know, Star Wars references.
I dig it a lot. It's James Bond references.
Mm-hmm.
But so this episode opens up with a recap of Joyce's death, Buffy being broke, the trio getting together, which is now what we've been informed is like what the fandom calls Warren, Andrew, and Jonathan. So I will henceforth be referring to them as the trio.
Same.
Spike and Buffy bonding recap, and then Buffy going to see Angel recap. The episode actually opens up with Buffy returning home with some big old bucket of fried chicken. And she's like, hey guys, I brought dinner home. It's a big old bucket of fried chicken. And
no sides. Nothing.
No sides.
Come on.
Unless they're in the bucket.
Huh?
Maybe she ate the sides on the way home.
I haven't been to KFC or gotten a bucket of fried chicken in a while, but I don't think the sides ever came in the bucket.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in Sunnydale they do. Or maybe Buffy ate them on the way home.
No, Buffy just came in with a bucket of chicken, no sides, no drinks.
That is a little inhumane. That's is that worse than Mr. Trick driving through the drive-thru just to get a soda?
No, because Buffy's broke.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, oh man, she's broke, but she's got
she doesn't have to bring bucket. Back food for them. How long has she been gone?
Yeah, I don't know. But she definitely doesn't have to bring back food for them, because as Buffy walks in, we see Willow, Tara, Dawn, and Giles. They're already sat down. They're having a feast, it looks like. It's like Thanksgiving dinner.
Giles has a glass of wine.
Yeah, there's like a huge bowl of corn.
I mean, he's sitting in the seat that Willow's laptop used to be in, so I don't know.
I know.
He must have been like, get that shit out of here.
Put a book there. Computers are for losers.
Yeah.
Put a book there. But yeah, Buffy's like, oh, I guess nobody wants some chicken. Oh, well, more for me. And then everybody starts to feel bad, and they're like, oh, we'll eat some chicken. Willow does this really fucking lame joke where she's like, yeah, I'll have some chicken because I'm a breast girl. But you already knew that. It's like, we get it, bro.
Yeah.
We get it. And Giles's reaction is even like, we get it, bro.
Now I'm on Tara's side. I'm like, is Willow pretending now? She's over. Like, she tried too hard.
I just loved Giles' reaction. He takes a pause, like kind of shakes his head like, ew.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I love lady parts. He's like, I don't think you're real.
Yeah. You're trying too hard.
Plus, he also doesn't like Willow anymore.
Yeah, he does not. But so then Dawn gets to asking the question that we all wanted to know. She's like, so Buffy, what was it like seeing Angel? How was it? What'd you guys talk about? What'd you do? What happened? And Buffy's like, I don't really want to talk about it. You know what I want to talk about instead? Let's talk about how I'm going to pay these bills.
Well, the thing that I noticed, they ask Buffy, what does she plan? What is your plan? And then she lays out the plan of how to pay the bills. But then I go, she just got home, guys. Like, yeah. She just stepped in the door. And you're like, so what is your plan for your life? And like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, she's been alive, what, like a week?
Yeah, it has to be like a week, yeah.
Yeah.
They do some kind of like weird misdirect where like, so what was it like? And then Buffy starts talking about the bills, and they're like, no, we want to know what like you were doing with Angel. And Buffy's like, I'd rather not talk about it. And then like, so what are your life plans? What are your goals? What are you going to do?
What do you mean? I'm just going to walk around and slay until I get killed again. That's I'm a slayer. Like, what? They keep pretending like she has a chance at a normal future. Like she can,
I know.
Like she could be a lawyer somewhere.
I guess she does need to get a job since no one seems interested in paying her for being a slayer, except for maybe a little bit later.
Has a slayer ever lived this long? No, it seems like.
I don't know. Is Buffy the most successful slayer in history?
I don't know. She died twice already.
That is true. And that's crazy to think. I was talking about it with somebody, and it was like, they were like, well, Buffy died? Well, how did they bring her around? I was like, actually, this is the second time that Buffy's died.
Yeah.
Maybe Faith is the most successful slayer because of just longevity. Faith is still out there, everybody.
I keep thinking about how being the chosen one, like, think about it. Like, it seemed really important. It's like, you're the chosen one. But why did they choose Faith?
Yeah. Is there no screening process?
Yes.
Isn't there another Kendra out there?
Yeah, don't they have to call up some references or whatever?
Well, bro, if you think about it, like, why would they choose Faith? Why would they choose Buffy?
Buffy has the Cordelia of her. Yeah,
of
but
her
she
school.
Has like this innocence, the heart. Like, she's kind of good at coming up with plans to destroy stuff. Like, she's got a skill set for that. Kendra was training for it, so she's different.
Yeah.
But Faith just had like raw power. Was a Slayer thing just being like, you know what? Let's try something new. Like, I don't know.
Let's try somebody really unhinged.
Yeah, let's do the world's changed. We need like some take no guff. No, like,
yeah.
We need the person from Bring It On that doesn't even want to be the cheerleader, but she's gonna do it anyway and never do any cheerleading.
One of our previous boys watching movie episodes.
It's the same character.
But yeah. So they ask Buffy what her life plans are. What's her future hold? And Buffy's like, dude, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to college. I don't know. I was thinking about going back to college, but that was before my mom died. And I had all these bills and I missed the registration. And then Willow is like, you can come in audit classes with, it's like, boy, that sounds like a load of fun.
Yeah, I was like, that seems like a way to just kill time during the day.
Why would they do that? Like, why would Buffy do that? Just take classes for no purpose?
And it's not even like she had a major. She's just like in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Buffy's like, sure. That sounds like a good time, I guess. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll audit classes. Sure.
Yeah, we'll keep talking about this stuff as it goes on.
So we cut away from this scene and we go to the trio and they're talking about how they're going to take down Buffy, and they're like, I don't know how we're going to do it because the Slayer always has a plan, it seems like. She always is on top of stuff. She seems like she's got a lot of life goals going on. She's a big old plan that she's working towards. And then they all decide, like, all right, well, if we're going to decide to, like, get rid of the Slayer, we need to, like, run her through some tests. Because we don't know exactly how powerful she is. We don't know a lot of stuff about her. So let's, like, try and figure some stuff by running her through some tests. Let's also test ourselves, see how powerful we are and how we match up against Buffy. And also, check out this incredible spy van that Warren built. And they go through it, and it's just, like, teched out with all of these screens. It's got one of those, like, satellites that comes from the top, like a news van. It is incredible, dude.
Remember, like, season one and two, how we kept talking about how, like, the school is just full of geniuses?
Yep.
Like,
there's three of them in one van.
Like, I don't know how much of a genius Jonathan and Andrew are, but they're not dumb. Like, Andrew, I will say, his artistic ability is amazing. The airbrushing that he put on this.
Airbrushes. I didn't know if that was a decal. I was like, that's got to be a decal. But if it's him airbrushing that, unreal.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible. Yeah, he had to make it because he talked about how it's like a different layout than another layout. So it's just, I looked at that. I was like, the detail in that.
Yeah, and he was like, I guess I could paint over it. I'm like,
oh, yeah, dude. If you can just whip that up really easily in a time that they don't even notice it, then geez. Like, well, again,
if you could have Warren whip up this incredible spy van in the time, like, that thing is tricked out. It's like a Pimp My Ride van.
Warren could be doing anything legal to make money.
I know. What is he doing?
He's a bad guy. They're just bad guys now. The Hellmouth has seeped into the brain. And
I mean, he could be a bad guy for the government. Like, the government isn't good.
He could, or a corporation. He could legally be making money doing bad things for a corporation. And he'd probably do better because he has no morals. They're talking about killing Buffy, who they like.
Dude, Wolfram and Hart from Angel should hire him.
Oh my God. There was almost a crossover in Angel, but it wasn't really.
But this van, like, and I can't believe people didn't bring up how much of a genius this guy is. Like, in our Discord, we have people talking about, like, I guess nobody ever really brought up, like, how crazy smart Warren is. Like, this dude is unreal. Unreal, dude.
The tech savviness of Warren is crazy. And now him as a bad guy. You know, maybe you were right. Maybe they should have put him on the team and it would have kept him off in the straight and narrow and he could have been on their leash. But they didn't have the money. They didn't have the bank robbing skills to
afford
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But their plan is they're gonna like use the spy van to like watch Buffy and without her noticing. It's gonna be hidden in plain sight and they're gonna be able to spy on her and figure out all of her weaknesses and all this stuff. And then we go to Andrew making that Death Star spray paint airbrush thing, which is just insane.
Yeah.
Insane. But yeah, they decide that they probably shouldn't have a Death Star because they want to be incognito, and that's not going to really help with that.
Yeah, a black van is super incognito.
Yeah.
He could have just been in a car.
I know. Yeah. But whatever. But
yeah, you need the van. It's more interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we go to Buffy and Willow in school, and Buffy's auditing her. They say that this is a sociology class later on, but I was a sociology major with a specialization in social psychology, and we never fucking talked about this stuff. And our classes were not like this at all.
I'm going to poke your social psychology mind when we talk about something in Angel, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So they're talking about social construction of reality, and it's just like every student is doing like a zip, zap, zop, fucking just bouncing around, just answering questions, and it's so fast, and the teacher's like, all right, and if that's true, then what? David's like, got this incredible essay of an answer, and he's like, great, David. Well, if that is all true, how does this happen, Alexandra? And Buffy is looking around, like Buffy's head spinning. She's like, I don't think I'm ready for this. Yeah. And Willow looks at her, and she talks to Buffy, and she's like, what are you talking about? You know, maybe it just takes some time to get reacquainted and reacclimated to the whole college scene, but you're not dumb. Like, you don't have to worry about it. It's just like, you got to get into the flow of the class and everything. And then there's somebody talking, answering a question the whole time that Willow's talking to Buffy. Willow turns her head, raises her hand, and answers the professor's question that there's no way that she could have heard. And the professor's like, great, good job, Willow. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
This is the worst class I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, like, it's a nightmare.
It's a call and response class. And
it's like popcorn answer, like popcorn reading, but instead of popcorn reading, it's popcorn answering life's biggest questions.
And I didn't pay attention to anything anyone was saying. I was just like,
because it was mumbo jumbo, dude. Like, it made no sense.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, what? You call him Teacher Mike? Oh my God. Like, so much has changed since I've been gone. I'm like, you were at the same school. You realize, like, Maggie Walsh died, so it's probably, like, not a lot of hard asses here.
Yeah. When they were introducing this classroom scene, and the teacher had his back to the students, I thought it was going to be that teacher that Buffy had a moment with when she was dropping out. Remember that?
It could have been. I don't know what that was. That
poetry teacher or whatever?
I guess that scene was just to say, Buffy liked poetry class.
I guess so. Remember we predicted that that's how Spike's Inn was going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yet to come to fruition.
It's still a possibility.
Yeah, it's still a possibility.
I think they got to bring back Spike as a poet. I'm surprised he hasn't written anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he has. He's probably got journals and journals and journals of Buffy poems because he's a softie at heart.
Oh, maybe he wrote them in the program of Buffybot.
Buffybot.
It's like hidden in the code.
In the code, he just wrote, also, you like poetry. So yeah, Buffy feels dumb. And she's like walking through the hall now. And she's like, I don't know if this is right for me. I feel kind of dumb. This is weird. And then a dude, a mystery guy with a black hat and a black jacket bumps into Buffy and puts a little chip or a device on her. And obviously it's Warren. And he like looks at his handiwork. He's like, all right, cool. Jonathan and Andrew are watching from the van. Warren gives a thumbs up on like the security camera thing. And they're all like, all right, we got Buffy chipped. We got her implanted. This is cool. And I was like, what does that chip actually do?
First, I thought it was going to be a tracker, but then they say we put the inhibitor on her.
Okay. And that is what happens a little bit later on. We have Tara meeting up with Buffy and Willow, and Tara and Buffy are now walking down the hall. And Buffy's like, ah, dude, I went to Willow's class, and I don't think I'm cut out for it. And Tara's like, why don't you come to my dumbass class? It's just some kind of art history bullshit. here, check out this textbook. It's literally just pictures. Buffy
takes art history is a real class. I took it. I don't remember a lot from it. I remember I learned about columns, the three types.
Buffy takes the book and she opens. She's like, ooh, pretty picture. And she finds this one like gothic looking art piece that looks some like weird. And there's like a moment of like, and Buffy's like, oh, whoa. And Tara looks back at her and Tara's like, hey, dude, are you coming? Like, why? What are you doing? And Buffy's like, oh, sorry, dude. I guess I just must have spaced out or something. And then she starts walking around and she's talking to Tara. And then she hears the noise again. It's like, and Tara's like halfway down the hallway now. She's so far ahead of Buffy. And she's like, Buffy, what are you doing? What are you standing there for? And Buffy's looking around like, what the fuck's going on? What's going on? And then Tara's like, all right, well, just come into class. Tara goes into the classroom. Buffy, once again, Tara's coming out of the class. She's like, Buffy, how come you didn't come into class? Class is over now. And Buffy's like, what the hell's going on? And eventually she like looks at a clock and sees that it's like fast forwarding. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my dear Jesus, what's happening here? And my big question for this is, while Buffy is experiencing this fast forwarding, what is she doing in like Tara's mind? Like, is she just standing still for that like 40 minutes?
Maybe. I don't know. At first, I thought when it first started happening, I thought it had something to do with Willow. And like,
I thought it had something to do with the painting.
Because she looked at, because she looks at a painting and it looks almost like a heavenly thing. And you hear this sound effect, and it's when Tara says, Willow, blah, blah, blah. And then you hear this woo. And then she goes like, what? What were you saying? What were you talking about? Oh, I was just talking about how like Willow, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes to a water fountain and then she says Willow again. And then it goes woo. And I was like, holy shit. Every time she says Willow after seeing this painting, which could have been like that painting was something of like how, like, what she saw in the afterlife or whatever. And I was like, that's interesting. But then it goes further, so it's not that. But the first two are lined up where she says Willow and she's looking at like a heavenly Renaissance painting.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is just some weird unexplained inhibitor that makes time go fast around her, but time isn't really going fast.
Or is it? No, it is, because we see the clock moving fast.
How are they watching this, though?
I have no idea. And I guess in the school security camera.
Because think about it. If time is going that fast, they've been sitting in that van watching Buffy stand still for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
4 hours.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Like, what is Buffy doing? And do people, I mean, because now Buffy, like, when she realizes time is fast forwarding, she runs outside. And everything is fast forwarding around her and people are like bumping into her and she's getting knocked to the ground and shit. And when I was like, okay, she's getting bumped. Does it look like to those people that she's falling in slow motion? Like what?
Cause I watched, I watched the Flash movie recently.
I heard that's terrible.
It's not great, but because I heard about how bad it was going to be, it wasn't as bad for
low
me
bar.
But there's some stuff, the more you think about it, just like, why did they make that decision? Why is this? And then it looks like a cartoon half the time, which is like, either make it live action or fully animated. Like that kind of thing. Like Spider-Verse is great and that's just all animation. So anyway, but when the Flash runs, he can see people and move out of the way. So are these people that are not affected, like it only is supposed to affect her?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's making her slower, so the other people should be normal speed, so normal speed people should be able to avoid running into her.
I
but
don't know,
again,
man.
Like, it's no point in overanalyzing this one because I have no answers for it.
I would just love to see their POV, like bumping into somebody and being like, oh sorry, and then they just are slowly falling to the ground, like, like, all right, weirdo.
Yeah.
Must be the theater kid.
What play is that from? Yeah.
Is this a flash mob? What's going on?
Yeah. Is this pre-Flash Mob?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, this is pre-Flash Mob.
Started Flash around like 2007, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the people running into Buffy seem to be really hurting her too. Like she's like crawling on the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
But she crawls underneath of a table and she's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And she takes off her jacket because she feels something in her pocket and she sees like the inhibitor or whatever.
Well, she says she can hear it.
Yeah,
apparently it's making some noise.
But Warren and Jonathan and Andrew are watching from the van. And this is where I was like, oh, how the hell are they watching this? But there's apparently a video camera in the inhibitor and they're seeing Buffy look at the inhibitor. And they're like, shit, she found it. She found it. Oh, no. Oh, no. We should self-destruct it. We should self-destruct the inhibitor. And then they do. And then Buffy's like, huh. All right. Well, that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trio kind of like debrief and they're like, hey, that was pretty sick, right? That was pretty cool. Warren, this was like Warren's project.
Yeah.
And as we see throughout the episode, each of them has their own little project that they're going to use to mess with Buffy. And Warren's was the inhibitor and the fast forward thing. And he's like, that was pretty good, right? Like, that was pretty awesome. And the trio is like, yeah, that was pretty good. Jonathan and Andrew are like, that's pretty good. I'll give it like a 6 out of 10. And Warren's like, what do you think? Gotta be kidding me. She was freaking out, dude. Like, that's got to be an 8 out of 10. They're like, let's split the difference, 7 out of 10. And then they turn to Andrew and it's like, all right, Andrew, you're up. Let's see how you're going to mess with Buffy. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun episode.
Yep. It's a great setup to like, okay, everyone's got their little game of how they're going to freak Buffy out. And then you're just like, let's see what happens next. And then you also get the game of Buffy's going to try different career choices.
Yep.
So that's the life serialness of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Interesting that they do two time things, though. But yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. It's a good fun time.
Yeah.
So the next test, the next trial that Buffy needs to go through is Buffy's decided, yeah, maybe college. I'm not cut out for that right now. My head was spinning. I wasn't ready for that. Let me go and do some manual labor work with Xander, which is something that I talked about.
You absolutely did. And I said she would hate it. And you said she's strong, so she'd be good at it.
Yep.
And you were right.
So Buffy's talking to Xander and she's like, yeah, Giles offered me a job at the Magic Box, but retail work. And anyone that's ever worked in retail stood up and applauded that.
She's like, I'd rather be dead than in retail. And it's like, wow. Knowing it's an interesting joke knowing that Buffy would rather be dead than anything. But yeah.
Yeah. But Buffy's talking to Xander as they're walking around on the construction site with their little Zoolander hard hats. Like Xander's is like tilted to the side.
Oh, he mentions being in the union too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he wasn't in a union he first started working.
Yeah. But so Buffy's talking to him about like the device that was on her sweater. And Xander's like, oh yeah, that sounds really freaky. Maybe somebody's messing with you. And I don't know if you saw this, but I think I saw a remaster issue here where I saw lighting people like behind Xander and Buffy while they're having this conversation. Just a dude holding a gigantic like panel of light or like a whiteboard, like bouncing light thing.
I guess I missed it.
But Xander's like, well, don't worry about it. I got you this job. It's going to be totally chill, except for everyone here on this construction site is sexist. Let me introduce you to Tony.
they're going to be like the construction workers in the Barbie movie. Another movie.
Exactly.
Just like, what do construction workers sound like? I don't know. I've been a writer my whole life. All right.
They all got New York accents.
Yeah. They all got New York accents. They hate women. What else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all got goatees.
Yeah. And they all have Tony, Joe, Rocky names.
But, so Xander's like, hey, Tony, this is Buffy. This is who I brought on for the job. And Tony's like, are you kidding me, dude? This girl weighs 100 pounds. What is she going to fucking do? Xander's like, no, 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 trust me. She's strong. She's going to be great. She's going to be awesome. I'm going to dip out, though, because I have to go do my job at the top of the building. So, Buffy, you're on your own. Good luck. And so Xander leaves. And then all
definitely,
the guys just...
Definitely not how that would work at all. She would definitely be on Xander's team. You bring someone in there on your team and whatever.
So she's left alone with all these construction guys and they're all sexist. And they're like, what is this little freaking doll baby going to do? Yeah, you can cheerlead for us while the real men do the work.
Oh, what is this affirmative action? No. Oh.
Yeah. And then they're like, all right, we need to haul all this heavy ass stuff from here to over there. Who should we get to do it? And then one of them's like, get the freaking blondie over there to do it. Buffy's like, oh, okay, fine. And she just picks it up really light. And then she's like, starts walking it over. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, holy shit. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, they don't react big enough for me.
Dude.
That's a two-person, that's a two-man job if it's 100 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Buffy just like picks it up, throws it over her shoulder, starts hauling stuff.
Yeah.
And then so she places it. She's chatting with one of these construction guys. And she's just like doing everything super efficiently, super quick, super successfully. And then that guy's like, hey, lady, what are you trying to frickin' make us all go broke? I get paid by the hour and you're doing this shit too fast. I'm gonna go broke if you keep doing this.
Oh, yeah. The lazy union worker thing. There we go. Gotta squeeze that in.
Meanwhile, the trio is spying on Buffy with the largest binoculars you ever did see.
They were nice. They were big, but they were nice.
It was like half of Warren's body. Yeah.
Dude, they got all that bank robber money, so they like loaded up on equipment.
Fair enough. But they're looking at Buffy and they're like, all right, Andrew, you're up. Let's do it. Your turn to mess with Buffy. And then Andrew goes into the back of the van, sits cross-legged, and he starts playing a pan flute. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, he's that's his skill set. He can summon.
Yeah, and Buffy's on the construction site, and she can kind of hear this pan flute, like, vaguely in the distance. She's like, what is that? And Tony walks over to Buffy, and he's like, hey, blondie, blah.
Well, he walks over. He walks over, and there's a wrench. It's like Buffy's getting water from one of those high school water jugs that you would get, Gatorade jug. And then it's like a creeping POV camera, and on the foreground, there's like a giant wrench, and you see the wrench come off, and she turns like, oh shit, someone's about to hit me with a wrench, and it's Tony.
Yeah, and Tony's just holding this wrench like in a way that no human would hold a wrench.
Hey, I was just walking over to tell you how good a job you did while holding a wrench in my hand for no reason. A wrench that didn't have in my hand before. I picked it up before I saw you. Yeah.
But as he's talking to Buffy, demons show up and Buffy shoves Tony out of the way because this demon's about to attack him. And then Buffy starts fighting the demon and she's beating him up in front of like four or five.
I think it was like two guys, really. It should have been more people, but there was two main cowers. There was two main ones. And one of the guys was a nice
cowerers.
Yeah, there's other people. I mean, it's a freaking fight in a construction site.
Right? You could hear that.
Yeah.
And stuff's like getting busted through and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's like three to start. But then you're right. There is like two main guys that are just cowering.
Yeah.
And Buffy's just like fighting all these dudes, all these demons. And as she kills them, there's like three of them. As she kills them, they just turn to goo and melt and dissipate and disappear.
They turn into the Capri Sun commercial from the 90s.
That is so accurate. Yes, they do.
That effect was everywhere. Like,
but So Buffy beats up all these demons, and in front of all these construction workers, like at the very least, two of them.
who don't help.
Don't help at all. Don't help at all.
Yeah.
And then after Buffy beats them all up, Buffy notices that black van that this trio is in. And the trio is like, oh, shit, she noticed us. She noticed us. They start kind of like squabbling. They hit a car horn.
Yeah, they fall on the car horn. Star Wars. Yeah.
Star Wars car horn theme on the car horn. Jaws like, Jesus Christ, we get it. They're nerds.
Andrew's like, hey, you didn't see anything about the horn. You just said the painting. I don't think that horn would make me think. I mean, it wouldn't make it specific. You wouldn't hear it and you'd be like, oh, if I hear that again, I know it's following me. But I wouldn't think right away that that would be what sets it apart. Definitely don't draw a Star Wars thing on the side of it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
But after they, like, the trio, like, kind of cower in fear and, like, try to hide from Buffy, Tony comes up to Buffy and he's just kind of like, what the hell, you dumb bimbo? Why are you attacking me? And none of the other construction workers stick up for her. They're like, oh, yeah, this freaking bimbo. Yeah, she must be here that time of the month. And Buffy's like, bro, they were demons. I saved you. You guys were crying shit in your pants in front of me.
Once you said that, I was like, it's no chance they're ever going to admit to crying in the corner. Like,
yeah.
The way she had framed it in the beginning, I was like, she's like, hey, I was fighting him and you guys were all cowering. I was like, oh, they're not going to admit to cowering.
Yep.
You lost that one. If you would have been like, they all helped me fight a demon, they would have been like, yeah, we all helped fight a demon.
Yeah. Remember you killed that one? Wink, wink, wink. Wink.
Yeah.
But yeah, he blames it on her period. Typical women when their periods hallucinating about demons. Good Lord.
Yeah.
So then Xander comes down and Xander's like, Buffy, what the hell's going on down here? And Buffy's like, dude, a bunch of demons showed up and they were attacking and I saved everybody. And Xander's like, is there any proof of these demons? And she's like, no, well, they melted and turned to goo and Capri Sun after I beat them up. And Xander's like, no, Buffy, no. Okay, you can do this anywhere, anywhere else, but don't bring it to my job, okay? Anywhere else, don't bring it here. And then Buffy's like, are you fucking serious?
I don't control where the demons attack. And he's like,
yes.
Ugh, ugh. Like, what are you talking about, Xander? You think construction sites are off limits?
Yes. Dude, that's where you beat Glory. It probably is this exact same place. But so Xander, like, has a long walk with Buffy off of the construction site. And he's like, look, I know, I'm sorry. He didn't say I'm sorry, but he's like, yeah, this maybe construction isn't your field of job stuff. Maybe this isn't really your bag. And Buffy's like, are you firing me? He's like, oh yeah, I'm absolutely firing you. But maybe you should go to Giles's to research what is happening because you had that fast forward thing and now demons are attacking you on this construction site. Something's definitely going on. And yeah, you should totally go to the magic box and totally research. And Buffy's like, you're firing me. He's like, yep, give me your construction hat. Turn in your badge. Turn in your construction hat.
turn in your bright, bright new, like we purchased it this morning.
At Party City.
Yeah. your village people construction hat.
Yeah.
I think she was really digging construction too. It seemed like this is the most excited I've seen her about anything ever.
Yeah. She was being too good at her job. So much so that the people were like, stop.
But also, in this world, the only thing they know about construction is that you lift things. Like, that's all we see her do is like lift up two beams. It's like a little more to that. Does she know how to use a drill? Does she know the screws? Like, can she use a saw?
They didn't even have somebody sawing.
Yeah, like, it's so much more to construction work.
Here's what's construction work in Sunnydale. It's wearing a hard hat, lifting things, and having a pencil behind your ear.
And if you're really fancy, you get a tool belt.
Yeah. But yeah. So that is the end of Andrew's turn of messing with Buffy. That concludes her excursion into construction work. Mm-hmm. Because now Buffy is working at the magic box. Her worst nightmare. Something that she fears worse than death. Because she's already been dead twice, but she has yet to have a retail job.
I'm like working for Giles, who is like, she loves Giles, but also they can bump heads a lot. And then working with Anya, and then working with customers at Sunnydale who would shop at the magic box.
Yeah.
That clientele.
Dude.
Well, we'll get into Buffy, it, but yeah.
Okay, I just thought of this. Buffy absolutely should work at the magic box because then she has eyes on everybody buying all this freaky shit.
No, that should be Anya and Giles' job. She shouldn't have to do that and beat them up later. Like, they should keep track of it, you know? Like,
Fair enough.
Like, the Watchers came in and said, Giles, what are you doing selling this to regular people? The Watchers were right. That's the only time I agree with the Watchers.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But Anya's giving Buffy a talk about, like, here's how you do this stuff. Here's how you do inventory. Here's how you record the sales. And Giles is doing research. He's got a bunch of books. And I don't know how the trio managed to do this, but they have like a camera and a skull that's on the shelf in the magic box. I was like, whoa, how did they do that?
They just went in one day and popped it in there. that's all it takes. The magic box has zero security, which is insane since this is their meeting place.
Yeah.
Business. It has witchcraft books that you shouldn't even look at that's out in the open.
Yeah.
It's a hazard. It's a hazard to the city.
Yeah, it's the Wild West. It's anything goes in the magic box.
Yeah, the magic shop
magic
was
box
never
has been
this big,
smashed to shit like four times already.
Yeah. This is the same store that got smashed when Spike came back that one time, too. Even though it looks different, its layout's different, but yeah.
But the magic box is bugged by the trio. And they're spying on Buffy, getting the kind of talking to about how it all works by Anya, and Warren's watching, and he's like, God damn, this is so boring. Holy shit. I'm going to try and go back to trying to figure out how to find out to get porn on here. Like, can we switch to the porn?
Yeah.
And Jonathan's like, all right, well, let's spice things up. Let's make it a little bit less boring. Here, it's my turn to mess with Buffy now. And Jonathan sits down. He's got his spell all ready to do it. And he's like, all right, here we go. Here's how we got to do it, guys. We got to sit in a circle and we all got to hold hands. And Warren and Andrew are like, ew, gay. Well, I'm not holding hands. This is gay.
Well, Andrew's like, ugh. And then Warren calls out Andrew's homophobia. He's like,
yeah.
You know what it says about you if you're homophobic?
Yeah. And then Jonathan's like, yeah, I gotta, can somebody hand me my magic bone? And they're like, magic bone.
Yeah.
And Jonathan's like, guys, grow up.
They must have had so much fun. Like, I hope, like, I know we've heard some awful stuff from the sets of Buffy, but I hope these three had fun doing this because it should not be fun what they're doing.
Yeah. But so Jonathan's like, all right, this is going to sound a little weird, so don't make fun of me when I start doing this spell. It's going to sound odd, but here we go. And he starts doing his spell, and the van starts smoking, and then it gets incredibly smoky, and they're like, I can't fucking breathe. So they open the back of their van, which is parked right outside of the magic box, and smoke is just coming out of that van, dude. And a lady just out, it's daylight, lady just walks by it, walks into the magic box, no questions, nothing going on. Like, if you saw that happening, you'd be like, yo, was there a fire in the back of that van?
It's been a week since the bikers were here. They don't give a shit, man. Main Street just keeps busy. Like, it's
blinders on.
Like, a car smoking means get away from it.
Mm. I guess it's kind of like the New York subway.
The New York subway is a lot different than a combustible vehicle above ground. Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And if there's fire, there's gasoline. And then,
Man, blowy up.
Yeah. It just, at least someone would be like, hey, what's going on over here? You would think.
Yeah.
But there's no cops in Sunnydale anymore, though. We realize.
That's true. They live in an anarchist town.
Yeah.
It's ruled by the demons.
I wonder who the mayor is.
Yeah. Who's the new mayor? Who's the new principal? Is there a high school in Sunnydale anymore?
There used to be multiple high schools. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with high school. Dawn goes somewhere. Dawn goes to some school.
That is true. Yeah, Dawn. We have seen that. Oh, whatever. But this customer comes in, this lady, and Anya's like, go help the customer. And Giles is like, it's all about, he's giving her a speech, like, it's all about service. I like to think about this as like the library, and I try to give people exceptional service, and the sales will come. Then Giles walks away.
He did nothing at the library.
Yeah.
No one ever checked out a book.
So then Anya walks up after Giles leaves, and she sees the customer walked in, and Anya's like, go sell that person something, Buffy. It's not about, so just go sell them something. Just make them buy something. And Buffy's like, okay, well, these are two different approaches to owning this and operating the store. So Buffy's like, all right, I'm going to go help that customer. On her way, some guy stops her by the candles, and he's like, hey, which of these candles will create like a romantic atmosphere? And Buffy smells the one. She's like, I don't know about that one. That one doesn't kind of smell that great. She smells another one. She's like, this one smells like lime. Here, get that one. And the guy's like, thanks a lot. And Buffy's like, you're welcome. Starting to feel good about herself and her ability to help customers.
Now, about these candles, are they magic candles? Or are they just candles? One's like a slug monster slime, and one's like a just a fragrance
key lime pie.
Yeah. And I was like, is this guy so dumb he can't tell which one smells good, or is he asking for which stuff? Because if I'm buying a candle, I'm not going into the magic box unless it's like, this is a make someone fall in love with you candle, which would also be something they shouldn't sell.
I don't even question things. Anyway. Like, there's some things that I'm just like, I guess this is fucking just a good smelling candle.
Well, I'm about to question some stuff in this next part, for real.
So Buffy walks up to the female customer that walked in, and Buffy's like, hi, how are you doing? How can I help you? And the lady's like, hello, hi, I'm here to get a mummy hand because I'm about to do a prosperity spell, and I need that mummy hand in order to complete it. And then Buffy like tries to do a joke with her, and the lady's like, not buying it. She's just like, shut up and get me my bummy hand, lady. I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just in the back. Let me go to the back. I'll go grab that mummy hand. Be right there. So Buffy goes to the back, and the mummy hand starts moving around, and then it eventually jumps up and starts choking Buffy. And Buffy's like, grabs the hand off of her, throws it onto a crate, and then grabs a knife and just stabs it, and then brings it out to the lady on the knife. And she's like, hey, here's your mummy hand. And it comes free with this super fancy knife. I forget what the name of the knife is. But then the lady sees that. And she's like, That mummy hand is dead. I don't want it anymore. There's no life left in it. I'm not satisfied with this. This is not what I wanted. And then we start Buffy in a Groundhog's Day-like time loop. Now, I'm sure that you have your questions about this mummy hand.
Why are they selling mummy hands? Why are they selling live mummy hands? What the hell is going on? This is something that you can call up the store and be like, hey, do you have mummy hands? Because we've seen a Mummy Girl episode.
Uh-huh.
They had to stop the Mummy Girl. Now we're just selling mummy parts?
I mean, the lady knew about, like it needs to be alive. That lady is sus as fuck.
There's just a mummy hand in, like, the basement or back room. Just there.
And it hasn't choked anybody yet?
Oh yeah, I think I saw one back downstairs. Let me go get that. What? I think everything that Jonathan and Andrew get for their spells, they get from the magic box.
Yeah. Jonathan's magic bone.
Yeah. He's like, oh, do you got a magic bone and I can control time with? Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, we had two of them in. Which one do you want? Do you want the loop forever or loop for century? Like, Jesus.
You want fast forward? You want slow motion?
Do you want to free someone in time and have the perfect day ever?
Shout out our Angel podcast.
But man, like, what? I was like, it's no way. It's a mummy hand. Like, sell some fake shit.
Yep.
And she's like, she knows it has to be alive and moving.
I mean,
what is this?
How often does Anya get choked out by this mummy hand? Because it's like Buffy walked over to it and just jumped at her.
I'm here for a Yeti skull. Do you have any Yeti skulls? No, we got Bigfoot toes. You want Bigfoot toes? Like, what is this? What is this world?
But so the scene restarts and we have Buffy zoomed back to her original starting position where she was having the conversation with Giles about, like, oh yeah, I think about the library. I think about the store like it's the library and service is what's important. And then Anya comes up to her and she's like, yeah, we got to make a sale. Go make a sale. And Buffy's like, we already did this. What's going on here? You hear the ching-a-ching-ching, ding-a-ding-ding of the customer walking in, and it's the same customer lady. And Buffy's like, what is this? She walks by the guy again. The guy's like, which candle will give me a romantic evening? And Buffy's like, this one, guy? Here, it's the lime one. She goes up to the lady, and she's like, hey, I'm here. I'm looking for a... Buffy's like, a mummy hand. He's like, yeah, how'd you know? Buffy's like, something freaky going on here. And then we go to the trio in the van. And Jonathan's like, yes, this is an awesome spell that I have produced. This spell involves Buffy being trapped in a time loop. And she has been given a task that she must resolve in order to get out of the time loop. But the task is unresolvable. So she's going to be stuck in this time loop forever and go insane.
I wish he would have said it that way, because I went back twice and had to rewind because I couldn't understand what he was saying. And I know you watch with captions on, so I put captions on just so I could, like, figure out what he was actually saying there. And he says, she has to satisfy a task that resists solving.
Yeah.
And him saying resist solving just got all muddled up when he was saying it. And I was like, wait, what? What is he saying? She has to satisfy a task to resist solving. I was like, resist solving? Resist? He doesn't say, like, resist being solved. It's like resist solving just run together. Those S's just run together. And I was like, what is he talking about? But yeah, that was just a little insight into me viewing this and being like, why did I watch this part over?
But yeah, so the lady is like, yeah, I want a mummy hand. And Buffy is like, I can't give you the mummy hand. And the lady's like, why? I called this store and they said that they had a mummy hand, and I'm not leaving this store until I get my mummy hand. Like, damn, Karen.
Yeah. Now, my question would have been, is this person real and is this mummy hand real?
Yeah.
But apparently it seems like it is the way this thing ends.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to talk about the Groundhog Day premise. You haven't seen Groundhog Day, right?
I have not, no.
But you've seen everything, but you know so many other things like Happy Death Day. And yeah. There's just so many things that are just loops again. Mm-hmm. They have taken that premise and put it in so many different movies. Even Palm mm-hmm. Spring has it. Like, there's so many. It's
Edge
wild.
Of Tomorrow, that Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah,
right?
Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah, just doing the same day over again. And I'm sure Groundhog Day isn't the first one to ever do it, like, in story media. I'm sure books have done it and stuff. But
a little anime called Steins Gate, everyone?
I think Steins Gate came out after Groundhog Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's more time travel in that, though, than it's repeating day, but time travel.
Yeah, they have a repeating day situation in that one, but
I don't even know if I got to that, because Steins Gate is not my jam.
You didn't. You stopped right before that started.
I don't think I would have liked that. If I was not on board then, I don't think that would have turned me around.
But what were you about to say about the time loop situation?
Just that there's just so many of these.
Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting concept.
It's an interesting concept, but it's also like the multiverse. Again, I'll bring up, I watch Flash, and Flash would be interesting if you didn't have to watch multiple Marvel and Spider-Mans, and there's just so much multiverse stuff.
Yeah, like, you're about to piss off the nerds like crazy.
No,
because
I mean,
the Flash is DC, and then you were like, you got to watch all this Marvel stuff.
No, I'm saying Marvel stuff because the Marvel stuff has a lot of multiverse, and then Sony with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they're getting really into the weeds with the multiverses.
Yeah. And then you have Loki is multiversal stuff, and even Ant-Man dealt with multiverses. And there's just so many multiverse things in media now. So this is like the Groundhog Day for me. I'm like, we're getting an oversaturation of that premise. So when you see it, you're not like, oh, whoa, she trapped on the same day. It's like, no, I've seen it. Now, I'm not saying that that's bad for this, especially for when this came out. And it's only like a part of an episode. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like a quarter of the episode.
Yeah,
so
this isn't a criticism on this. I'm just relating it to like stuff that's coming out now in 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, no one, I don't think, will ever top the multiversal story of Everything Everywhere All at Once. That movie was so fucking good.
It's a lot more multiverses in that than Doctor Strange in the multiverse, which had no multiverses in it.
Dude.
It had like one montage.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen Everything Everywhere All at Once yet, highly recommend that movie.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
That's one of the ones, like one best picture that I was like, yes. I was like campaigning, but I was like, yes, that needs to win. Because normally I think best picture movies are like dour and depressing and fucking just really pretentious. But like that movie was so good, dude.
Yeah. I like Parasite too.
Yeah. I haven't seen Parasite, but I heard that one's really good.
Parasite's good. It's unique. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But the lady is like, I'm not leaving without the mummy hand. So Buffy like chops it up into a bunch of little pieces. And she's like, never said that it had to be fully formed and together. And the lady looks discouraged and pissed off. And then restart the loop. And now things start to get wacky where Buffy is just like pissed off that she has to keep reliving this. She like just throws the candle at the guy. She breaks Giles's glasses. She breaks a little bell at the door. She rips it off its hinges. She's just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but I can't do this.
God, I feel so bad for her, man.
Yeah. And so eventually Buff, like the trio is watching this. They're like, this is hilarious. She's freaking out. Buffy eventually figures out, like, you know what? We don't have that. The one that we have is bullshit. It's bad. I'm going to special order you one for delivery. And you can come in within the next couple of days and I'll get you that mummy hand. The lady is like, all right, cool. I am satisfied with that resolution. And thus finishes the time loop.
Do you think that that customer would be satisfied based off of her first interaction of, I called and you said you had it? I don't think she'd be like, wait, I called, you said you had it, I drove down here, I drove through all these monsters, and I came to Death Alley to
make my way to Death Alley. Fight off a biker gang.
And I come here, and you say, oh, you don't have it, but you can order me one.
I think that she says that they have it, but it's defective. Or something like that.
Something like, or whatever excuse she gives her, I would think that she'd be like, no, I want to talk to your manager or something like that. But you got to end it.
I think
that
Buffy is like, we can ship it to you or whatever.
Yeah. And then she was like, oh my God. I guess back then, getting something delivered wasn't like now with Amazon. Like, so they're like, what? You can deliver it to me? Like a postman? Like a pizza? She's like, eyes lit up. I never had a mummy.
I am always excited to see that UPS guy with his little brown shorts.
What can brown do for you? What can brown do for me?
But so that completes the loop, and Buffy is freed from the time loop. And the trio is all jazzed in the van. They're like, yeah, that was cool. All right, we freaking did it, dude. Like, Jonathan's like, I think I did a pretty good job. I think I did a better job than all of you. And they have this like little competition thing of like, oh, well, yeah, you did mess with Buffy for, she did get freaked out the most, but it was for the shortest amount of time technically because it kept replaying. So who knows if she actually, and they're like, all right, guy, let's just say, let's all put our hands in a circle and go, good job, everybody. We all mess with Buffy except for Andrew, who I feel like Andrews was the weakest.
Andrews was the weakest. I think
just run-of-the-mill demons.
I think they could have retold. I think you could do Jonathan and Warren's over again and just like replan it out. Because they even talk about Jonathan's plan of like the resist solving. It's like, you could have made it something harder. He's like,
yeah,
I guess I could have. Like,
I mean, if like Jonathan and Warren combined theirs, like that'd be crazy.
And if they combine it, and then if Andrew wanted to summon something during that too, that makes it even harder, like she has to do this while fighting awesome demon, they can keep her trapped and busy for at least a week.
Yeah I like this trio. Maybe they're not as like goofy and dumbasses as we
think. I
think
they're goofy as they are, but they all have powers. Like, we see how dangerous like Warren's inventions are, and Jonathan brainwashed the whole freaking world almost.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't give Jonathan enough credit because we kept being like, yeah, the only spell that he knows is like to make him seem cool. And then now he busts out.
Don't
all
say
this crazy
we. That's you. I thought they could be the big bads. And you were like, they can't be the big bads.
Well, I mean, the last time that we saw them talking to that demon, all they bring up is the stuff that they previously done. Like, Warren's like, I can make you a robot girlfriend. And Jonathan's like, I can do a spell that makes you cool. Yeah.
So but I figure like, enough time it passed that Jonathan had learned like new spells. Like, he's going to be the spell person, obviously. Yeah. If you could do that spell, I think you could do a bunch of other ones. We've seen how spells work even later in this episode. Like, spells work. Yeah.
Have you seen, you've seen Demon Slayer, right?
I've seen some of Demon Slayer, yeah.
There's one character who, like, they learn a bunch of different attacks, but there's one character who like only knows one special attack, but he's honed it so perfectly that it's like the most powerful form of that attack. Mm-hmm. And I was like, maybe that's Jonathan with that superstar spell, but obviously not.
Because you can't do the superstar spell again because it's too OP.
Too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buffy like, is just like, oh, Jonathan's trying to make everybody think he's cool again.
Yeah. He's in the Matrix 3 or 4 now.
Are we going to go to the store and get our Air Jonathans?
I mean, I could just watch random clips from that world. Like, if that was out now, they would just have like random stuff on like YouTube and social marketing of just Jonathan dunk contest stuff.
So Buffy goes outside. And she's like, I'm done. I'm quitting this job. She puts her little name tag down. She's like, this is, I'm not cut out for retail either.
Wait, so before all that happens, she rings the lady up And then Anya says, oh, you forgot to charge her for delivery. And then Anya says, oh, I guess we can take that out of your pay. And Giles is like, oh, I guess that's true. And Willow and Buffy looks at them like, are you guys fucking kidding me? Are you guys, you're going to take this out of my pay? That yeah. I solved this unsolvable case? And then she just takes off her name tag, puts it down, and just walks off. And I was like, yeah. I was like, Giles agreed with Anya that they would take it, that they would take the delivery charge out of Buffy's pay. Buffy, who you're living with and know has no money. Giles, what the fuck are you doing? Of course you quit. I was so upset at this situation because I could see Anya doing it. Because I could see Anya doing it, right?
Yeah.
Anya. She's going to be like stickler for the rules and penny pinching. But Giles just nodding like, yeah, well, you got to learn somehow. Like, no.
Yeah.
What Giles, is it? Giles, what's the delivery charge? It's like $5 at most.
Giles should have been like, I think we can let that one slide. And they're definitely paying Buffy minimum wage, which back then was probably like $3.50.
Like Giles not even saying like, I don't think we need to do that, Anya. And then they could be arguing and then she's like, fuck it, I quit. That would make sense. But the fact that Giles just was like, yep, well, you made a mistake, Buffy.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty wild.
Minimum
wage in California in 2001 was $6.25. So they basically took an hour of work away from Buffy.
Minimum wage in other places is only like $8 now, which is crazy. Yeah.
I think the federal minimum wage is $7.25 or something like that.
Insane.
Yeah.
Nothing, whatever. Again, no commentary, right?
No commentary. How could we survive? Anyway.
Yeah.
So Buffy quits this job and you know what she decides to do after failing at college?
Gotta work two hours to buy a bucket of chicken.
She failed at college. She failed at construction work. She failed at retail. So what is she going to do? She's going to be a drunk. She goes,
I'm on that path right now.
Buffy goes to Spike's crypt to just get wasted with him. And Spike is like wanting to help her. And Buffy just keeps pouring shots out of his little flask. And she's like, I don't think you can help me. I'm just going to get fucking hammered, dude. Don't worry about it. And Spike's like, no, you can come and see like what my part of what my job is, kind of like what I do. I can go hit the streets and see what's happening and who's messing with you with this fast forward stuff, the demon and the time loop thing. Like, I'm going to hit the streets. We can go to the underground and figure out what's going on. And Buffy's like, well, Giles is already on it. And Spike's like, Giles, what has he ever solved?
Except for every time I attacked you guys and you guys defeated me every single time and I can't beat the Scoobies.
Yeah. Except for Giles. What has he ever solved aside from opening a random book to a random page and solving everything?
Your fake sister can do that now.
Yeah.
I was like, when they were pouring the flask, I was like, flasks don't hold that much whiskey.
I know.
I was happy when it emptied out.
Seven shots.
And then I wrote down they need a bottle, and they eventually get a bottle. And we're on our Buffy want booze phase.
Yeah. So Spike takes her to the demon bar that it's not Willie's because he's no longer wanted at Willie's. This is a new demon bar.
He's not wanted here either.
Yeah. So he goes to the demon bar and he's like, hey, I want to go to the back. I want to go to where all the real action is here. Get the lady something to drink. And the bartender's about to pour Buffy a shot. And Buffy just yanks the whole bottle from him. And she's like, thanks. And just goes and starts chugging from the bottle.
And this guy's got like a forked tongue. You know, he could be a demon or he could just be a guy with a forked tongue. Who knows?
Yeah. I know a couple people with forked tongues. Freaks me out.
Yeah. I just wouldn't want to do that to my tongue.
Yeah, I don't know what the benefit is aside from aesthetics.
Yeah. It's more aesthetic. No, it's not like you're like, oh, forked tongue's so much easier to eat pudding.
I don't know. I saw a TikTok the other day where it was like the two different sides, the girl could move them independently, it looked like. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a muscle. You could learn it separately if it's split, but like, probably heals fast. Everything in the mouth heals pretty fast. Whatever. But this guy's obviously a demon with a serpentine tongue. But yeah, he doesn't even question. Buffy just takes the bottle. She's like, little girl. Yeah. They don't, with the charger, she's not paid for this. Yes.
Hey, that's $40.
Yeah.
So they go to the back where there is a poker game going on. Spike's like, what's the action, guys? What's the action? And Spike like kind of bullies a guy out of the poker game. And he's like, all right, I want in. And then everybody starts like sitting down. And Buffy's like, are you serious? This is what your plan is? You're coming here to play poker? This is dumb. Like, I thought we were going to get information. I thought you were here to help me. And Spike grabs her. He's like, this is fucking what it is. We play poker and everybody talks during the game, idiot. So stop being such a butthole. Sit down, you drunk asshole. And yeah, we'll get some information. And Buffy's like, whatever. She sits down and just starts chugging from the bottle again. Spike's like, all right, who wants to loan me some money to let me in? And everybody's like, all right, fine. So they all place their bets and they're betting kittens. And Buffy's like, what?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Like they just pull out like four kittens and put them on the table.
I think there's a joke here about like, who's going to stake me? And she's like, I'll do it. There's like a, she's like, why do you think I'm going to walk away from that joke? And she's just drunk in the corner. Just the bottle. I don't know what she's drinking. I couldn't tell what she was drinking.
I like that she's also sitting slouched like a wasted drunk asshole.
Yeah. And she's so tiny.
I know.
Yeah.
That chair looks like too big for her.
Everything looks too big for her.
But so yeah. Then we cut to the trio, and the trio's like, we gotta mess with Buffy some more. I wonder how we're gonna do that, because we all did our own little trial thing. So something, we gotta figure something out. So we go back, and Spike has won all of the kittens, and all the other demons are like, you must have cheated. There's no way that you could have won all these. You're always cheat. And then Spike's like, oh, I'm cheating. And then like it's revealed that all of the demons are cheating in their own way. Like one has a card stuck in their arm. Another one, Spike's like, he's got x-ray vision. The guy's like, I didn't use it. And so Buffy's like, this is all fucking dumb. We didn't learn anything here tonight. I'm setting these kittens free. And the cat's just kind of like, walk away. And Spike's like, hey, I won those. He's like, dude, you could easily just re-get those kittens. Like, just grab them. Yeah, like, they're delicious.
Those demons are pretty fun, guys. Like, I can't even believe like you find her attractive. Her skin's all tight.
She's got all this melty looking guy. But I did like that Buffy's like, you guys are betting kittens anyway? That's lame. Spike's like, what? They're delicious.
Well, the other demon says it's delicious. Spike
I but guess Buffy's
Spike,
like,
I guess Spike would eat a cat.
Yeah, he would.
I guess.
It wouldn't activate his chip.
Yeah. I know, like, we saw Angel, like, eating rats or something at some point. That was his, like, thing, but,
But anyway, Buffy's like, I can't believe you took me out here. This is worthless. This is dumb. We didn't accomplish anything. I'm leaving. So she starts leaving, and Spike's like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? And Buffy's like, look, dude, my shit ain't working out. I couldn't do college. I couldn't do construction. I couldn't do retail. I can't do whatever this is. Like, this sucks. And somebody's fucking with me. And I don't know what's going on. I got all these bills to pay and I'm wasted. I'm out. So she storms out. And then we cut to the trio who are in their van and they're arguing about which James Bond is the best James Bond. Where do you stand on this?
I am not a huge Bond person. I haven't seen a ton of them. I feel like a lot of my references to stuff, which we even bring up when we do I Know What You Did Last Summer, comes from the spoof movies, back when spoof movies were really good. And like Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, man.
Austin Powers. Like, I don't know. I watch all the new Bonds. I remember watching the Brosnan one. I haven't watched a ton of the Sean Connery ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I don't have a... I don't have a deep knowledge of like, oh, Roger Moore was better. Or
yeah.
Dalton was better. Yeah. You know.
There was a while where I distinctly remember on ABC, every week they were playing the Bond movies in order.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched, my family, like we sat down and we watched like all the Connery ones. And then we just stopped. But the Connery ones were hilarious. Like just of the time, hilarious sexism craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I think that like the Roger Moore ones were goofy. I never saw any of the Pierce Brosnan ones, but I saw a couple of Daniel Craig ones and I liked those. But this was obviously before Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
But
this might even be before the Pierce Brosnan one.
Did they mention Brosnan?
They didn't mention Brosnan, I don't think.
Because growing up, Brosnan was the Bond for...
Yeah,
for
but who I think... Yeah.
He definitely was already.
It would have been the 90s, though. I mean, 2000s probably, right?
I'm pretty sure he started in like 98.
I mean, let's see.
Well, we got to look this up.
GoldenEye came out. Bond is starting with...
Because it was on N64.
95, I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they talk about him? I don't know. I wasn't fully locked in.
Yeah, I never watched any of the Brosnan ones either.
Brosnan is from 95 to 2002, so that would fit in here. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was later, but you're right.
But, like, that was the first Bond that I was really stuck in my memory was Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when Daniel Craig was cast as the new Bond, everybody was like, what? He's blonde.
He's blonde. How?
He doesn't have a big pompadour.
My wife was watching the David Beckham documentary thing, and I was watching a little bit of it. And it's like, mm-hmm. the 90s are such a weird time. It's like, he shaved his head. What? He shaved his head? Some news. Like, Britney shaved her head. Oh, my God. We got to talk about like just like celebrity stuff is just so weird.
Like, I mean, it's still today.
It's still
man.
Weird. Yeah, I know. But like, it's just. I do not get being star obsessed at all. I don't get it.
Me neither.
We're living through the Taylor Swift going to football games era right now. And it's like, why would you put yourself through watching 3 hours of football if you don't like football? Me and you watch football.
If you're a teenage girl, Swiftie.
Don't watch 3 hours of a Kansas City Chiefs game to see her in a booth cheering for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
There's better use
of 3 hours. Out of the 3 hours of a football game, they probably show Taylor Swift maybe
10
tops.
They cut to her a lot. I will say they cut to her a lot.
Yeah. But like, I just don't get it. But they're saying like, these are the highest rated football games they've ever seen. Travis Kelce has gained like 400,000 Instagram followers. His sales of jerseys are like through the roof. And I'm just like, really? All because he's quote unquote dating.
Yeah.
It's 100% a publicity stunt.
I completely felt that was like her movie's coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, and he's got his own like podcast stuff and he's got aspiration. Kelce was in a dating show when he was like
catching Kelce.
I mean, that was the first introduction I ever had to him. I didn't watch that show, but I remember the ads for it. And I was like, who is this guy and what is happening?
Yeah. But like, we haven't even seen them like kiss or anything. Yeah, and everyone's like, they're dating. They're dating. He's like, no, they're not. This feels so weird and sterile.
And like the mom is like going to Eagles games, hanging out with Jake from State Farm and then going to New York to go to see the Chiefs game, and now she's in the booth with Taylor Swift, and you're like, what is this cross promotional commercial that I'm watching?
It is very surreal, you know? I'm watching it like, what? This is real.
And I'm only paying attention to it because I watch football. I'm not paying attention to it because I like love Taylor Swift, and like now I'm just like intrigued about, I don't care if they're dating or not. It doesn't matter. Do people not remember all of Taylor Swift's relationships and how they end? Like, this isn't going to be good.
No,
Those Swifties will turn on Kelce in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, they will. Absolutely, they will. I saw a TikTok the other day. It was like rating all of Taylor Swift's exes out of 10 or whatever. And I hope, like, Jesus.
I hope he gets a good song out of this.
Yeah, that's the only upside.
Yeah.
You're going to be immortalized.
I know.
In a breakup song.
I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Fame football player with two, maybe more Super Bowls, but the Taylor Swift song, that's the legacy.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know. This show that people really love.
Yeah. Buffy storms out. And the trio is arguing which Bond is best. There we go. That's where we were at.
James Bond just sent us. We went on a tangent like they did in the van. This is what would happen if me and you tried to be super villains in Sunnydale.
I know. We'd be the duo.
No, they're really dating. No, it's just a publicity set. No, they love each other.
So eventually Spike comes out to chase after Buffy. And Buffy is like looking at the van and she's like, that van was at the construction site when I got attacked by demons. And that van, I've noticed that van. I recognize that van. And then Buffy starts to walk over towards the van. And the trio in the van are like, oh, shit. Here she comes. She's coming over here. We're going to get busted. And then as Buffy's getting closer to the van, a gigantic devil-looking demon comes out from behind the van to yell at Buffy.
I just remember what the demon looks like. It looks like
the devil from South
Park. Yeah, that's what it is. Even the way it acts, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So this devil comes out and is like, "Roar! I am a demon. You'll never get through me." And as he's like monologuing, the van escapes. And Buffy, in all of her wastedness, goes up to the demon. And she takes a swing at it, and she completely whiffs, twirls down, and falls on her ass.
So I was confused because I thought she had punched through it at first. When I first watched it, I didn't realize she had whiffed. I thought she had like punched through, and it was like a hologram or something. Mm. But then I realized, oh, she just drunkenly missed.
Yeah. Falls on her ass, stands up, and then this is the part where I was confused because Buffy kicks this demon in the chest, and the demon crumples over as if she kicked it in the nuts. So I rewound. I was like, did she kick it in the nuts?
We're back to Joe's nuts. Nuts.
Probably ball stuff.
Probably ball stuff.
I thought it was, he bent over like he was got kicked in the nads.
People bend over if you punch them in the abdomen too. You get punched
but
in the gut.
It in the chest.
Yeah.
But anyway. So this is my favorite part of this episode. So after Buffy kicks it in the chest, he's like, oh, you may have gotten the best of me this time, but I'll be back, and throws a smoke bomb onto the ground, and it just starts going like, psst. And then it just very in plain sight runs away.
You can see it running away.
Yeah. And Buffy and Spike are standing there, and Buffy's like, oh, it got away.
And Spike is not that hammered. He should be able to see and be like, it's like literally like before it hasn't even turned the corner.
Yeah.
He should be able to see it.
Yep.
The irony is he could have just turned and ran away. Buffy doesn't chase.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually the demon catches up to the trio's van and it is revealed that this demon is Jonathan in a spell disguise. And they're like, hurry up, get into the back of the van. And Jonathan's like, I can't get into the van. I'm too big in this form. And they're like, well, then do the thing. And then Jonathan's like, oh, shit, right. Let the spell be ended. And he turns back into Jonathan. I was like, fuck you, Joe.
Hey, they've established it. They've established let the spell
know,
be ended.
I know, but I thought it was that one time.
No, they've established it. It's multiple times where they do it. Like, I think Tara does it. When she made them blind, she just reverses it. When there's a split of Xander.
Split of Xander.
Yeah. They just, honestly, gotta say, Amy the Rat, is she even still around? What's going on? I know she didn't she casted herself, but at this point.
Yeah.
Bring that girl back. Her family's wondering where she is.
Yeah, could she say, let the spell be ended in rat language and turn back? that it turns back.
Can she put like a pencil in, or like maybe have the rat tap something that speaks it? You know,
oh, like Morse code. Like, let the spell be ended.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Amy the Rat.
That's gonna be a great day when she comes back.
It better happen. They have referenced her several times since.
Exactly. Exactly.
She's gotta come back.
We'll see.
Anyway, so Jonathan turns back, hops into the back of the van, and the trio is like, they're pretty amped. They're like, guys, do you realize what we just did? We went toe-to-toe with the Slayer, the vampire. They don't even say vampire Slayer anymore because they're like, he's just a Slayer. We went toe-to-toe with the Slayer, dude. Like, we might be a lot more powerful than we think we are. And we could definitely fuck shit up. That's pretty rad. And they're like, yeah, that is pretty rad. But you know what's radder? Warren discovered how to get free cable porn. And everyone's like, ooh, porn.
Nothing like three guys in a black van parked in the alley watching porn together.
Yep. Yep. But they wouldn't hold hands.
No.
They'll just sit in the back of a van all boned up.
Yeah, Jonathan mentions that like he's only looked big and he doesn't have the size, the power. So as he was a big demon, mm-hmm. he doesn't have any power. Yeah.
It's a big bluff.
Big bluff. Not a bad idea to make it seem like a demon did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They actually fall for it.
Because they're all going to be researching and figuring out, like Giles is talking about it.
Was this the demon you saw?
Yeah.
perfectly drawn picture. Oh, no, that's just someone's fake idea of a demon.
That's the devil from South Park. you sure? You were definitely drunk, right? You sure you weren't just watching South Park?
Yeah.
But anyway, so we go back to Buffy, who is back at her house, and she is barfing because she got fucking hammered. She's all sick. Giles is like, hey, how you feeling? Buffy's like, I'm feeling pretty rough. And you know what, dude? Like, Giles, I got a confession for you. I have been screwing up, dude. I am not screwing. I'm not doing this right. Since I've been back, like, I got all these bills. I got all this pressure. I've been fucking up, dude. And Giles like, I think that you're like pushing yourself a little too hard. Like, maybe you're being a little hard on yourself.
Fuck you, Giles. I came home and you guys said, what are you going to do with your life? You didn't even bite the chicken I brought yet. And you asked me what I'm going to do with my life. And now at the end of the episode, yeah, I think you're pushing yourself too hard. You asked her.
Yeah.
They didn't let her
use
it.
You're pushing her.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this is the time where Giles is like, you know what? You've been working really hard. You've been doing a lot of stuff. You came back from the dead, from hell, where you definitely were. Where we all know you were. I wanted to do something a little nice for you, Buffy. So I wanted to give you this. And he hands over a check to Buffy. And Buffy's like, what, is this a check? And she opens it. And she does like the, oh my God, Giles. Giles, this is very generous, Giles. This is too much. This is way too much. And then Giles is like, if you don't want it, I'll take it and I'll rip it up. And Buffy's like, fuck that. I'm taking the money, dude. I'm just trying to express my appreciation. I'm taking your money, though.
And Giles is like, it would be larger, but I had to take out the money because you didn't charge that lady for delivery.
That's the delivery fee.
Minus the delivery fee. Just, gosh.
But Buffy folds up the check. He's like, Giles, I just want to let you know, I am so thankful that you're here. And I'm so thankful that you're back. And it's kind of like having my mom back. And Giles like, so in this scenario, I'm your mother? And Buffy's like, would you rather be my absentee father? And he's like, how about I'm more like your rakish uncle? And I was like, fuck yeah, Giles.
She said her shiftless absentee father.
Yep.
I guess he's done.
Nah, he's gone, dude.
Yeah, sure. It seems weird that they like kind of wanted to reference him, but then they don't want him in the show. Like he could have just been gone from the beginning.
Yeah. I, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Also, I thought it was weird when she said it's like having her mom back at first. Because I get she's saying it like, oh, I feel safe around you. But she says it when the money, when she gets the check. And I'm like, wait, so your mom was only just the money part? Like, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But no, I guess she's saying like you feel safe and protected, which we get to later. But the order of the way she said it, I was just like, that's weird.
Yeah. But after this, Buffy's like, well, I'm going to go show Dawn the check because it always makes Dawn happy when there's good news. So I'm going to go share this good news with her. And she starts to walk away and she turns around back to Giles. And she's like, Giles, it makes me feel really safe knowing that you're always going to be here and you will always be here for us. And then she leaves and Giles is looking and he's like, bitch, I ain't always going to be here. I ain't got to play back. Yeah.
It's so funny because it's so true. It's like,
I got that apartment back in Bath, dude. You think
I ain't never say anything about forever. What you talking about?
I got chicks to fuck back in England, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm the cool uncle that just like comes in every now and then and say, hey.
I said like rakish uncle. Look up what the meaning of rakish means, my friend.
Yeah, I ain't raising you and Dawn.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
But that's where the episode ends, with Giles looking like, I don't know who told you I was going to be here forever. But
I don't know if you've seen the opening credits, but it says guest starring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is it for this episode. How'd you like this one? You liked it? I liked it.
It's good. I like a setup where it's just got, you know, it's kind of coming and it's got two things. It's like Buffy's going to do her job and Buffy's going to get screwed over and it's the threes. I don't know. It's
little
good,
vignette fun. Kind of yeah. things.
The Scooby Giles is falling into the Scoobies level of just like, what are you doing, man? You know, she just came back to life. Yeah. And I was, when he gave her a check, I was like, finally.
Yeah. But like, it shouldn't be him giving her the check. It should be the Watchers.
Well, she got him the Watchers pay. So sure. That stuff is, she helped him get it. Like now she's getting manager fees for like getting him his Watcher job back. I just, yeah, I don't know, man. Just, it's so weird. And now I guess we won't have to talk about money until the next time we have to talk about money in the show. Yeah.
You got anything else to say about life cereal?
I was thinking about when Buffy was in her like life loop and how it's not really that much different than having a regular 9-to-5 job where you do the same thing over and over again. She's like, I've done this before. It's like, what do you mean? Sold something to a customer? Yeah, that's you got to keep doing it over and over again.
There's your commentary of the week, everybody.
Vance's bleak commentary.
The next episode is titled All the Way. Does the trio get laid? Do they go all the way?
We're all getting laid. All the way.
I'm going to predict that this is the trio deciding like, hey, now we've decided we need to kill Buffy.
What are we on? Episode 6?
Yeah.
Coming up?
Or they're going to try specifically like, we're going to go all the way. We're going to kill Buffy this time.
It seems too early for Buffy to hook up with Spike.
Yeah.
Even though she did lean to like the only person I like hanging out with is you, like right now.
Yeah. They did recap that.
We're on the side. Yeah, we're on the side of like, I'm okay with it now. I didn't know how they were going to do it, and they figured out a way to do it. They had to do a weird reset. So,
I'm with it. It's still a little weird, but I'm with it.
It's still a little weird, but like, I care less now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say, you know what?
You know what?
Okay.
This is probably the Xander Anya one. Not
I said I wasn't going to predict Xander Anya. I'm going to predict that we don't have the trio in this one. That's the only thing I'm going to predict.
All right. Fair enough. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. That has been our episode on Life Cereal. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. If you want to get a shout out, 5-star Apple Podcast rating and review, 5-star Spotify rating, send it to us somehow at BoysWatchingBuffy on Instagram, BoysWatchingBuffy@gmail.com. Join our Discord, join our Patreon, patreon.com/BoysWatchingBuffy. We do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, wish list stuff, throne thing. We got merch. We got merch. That link's in the show notes. We got merch. And yeah, that is a wrap, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time when we talk about All the Way.
I need you to hold hands.
With each other?
Well, you know what homophobia really means about you, don't you?
Stop touching my magic bone!